All right, well, show it's 11:01. We'll go ahead and get started. Good morning again, everybody. Thank you for joining the Chapter Administrator Training Call today. I am Holly Dotson, Director of Chapter Operations. I think everybody on the call knows who I am, though. So I appreciate you guys joining me today, taking the time to invest in getting up to speed on all of the new things with the metrics and the dashboard. We do have a lot to cover today, so I won't mess around too much here this morning. I want to take a couple minutes and just share with you a few things. For starters, I want to thank all of you guys for your help with getting the chapter compliance in. We have received everyone's chapter compliance. I'm happy to say that all of the North American chapters are fully compliant at this time. We were compliant almost completely on time. We only were missing about maybe 10 to 12 documents total. So that's really great. And I know that that is really directly in part to all of your efforts and the hard work that you did to support the chapter leaders in getting everything organized and sent in on time and keeping them on track. So thank you to each of you for that. That was a big deal to get that taken care of. We will be continuing to review all of that compliance and then reaching back out to teams in the coming weeks, should there be questions or any adjustments that might need to be made. So be watching for that. For this call today, we are not really going to be covering global updates or talking about all the various chapter support initiatives. That will be happening on the August 1st call, which all of you hopefully have as a save the date, and the invite is expected to go out this week. There you will speak with Paul Van Deventer and Marianne Strobel, and they'll give you all of the updates as it relates to everything that's happening at MPI Global, how it interacts with you at the chapter level, and all of the support initiatives. Because what we need to talk about today is so lengthy, we don't want to take up any time to do that here today. So I just wanted to let you know that we will have that opportunity on August 1st for you. If there's something pressing that you need to know prior, we can always have a one-on-one call, so feel free to pick up the phone and let me know that you'd like to chat about a few things. I'm happy to do that. For today's call, I do have everybody on mute right now because we are recording, because I want to make sure that everybody has access to this afterwards for those who couldn't join us. We have about 43 on the call right now. And there's more chapter administrators and leaders out there who might need this. So what I'm going to do is kind of start the program and go through the training, and then I will take you guys off of mute after we hit each section so that we can ask questions and review and make sure that we get them in the moment to help you. So I just wanted to let you know about that. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and get started. The metric program in itself, all of you on the call should be very familiar with the metric program at this point. There isn't any major changes to the program itself from what it was in this last term. So as far as what are the metric goals, those are all the same. The only thing that changed within our metric goal program was that the net member growth goal was increased from 4% to 5% net member growth. Other than that, there were no additional changes. All of the other goals are self-driven at the chapter level, meaning simply that you guys at the chapter level, your chapter leaders decide how far they want to push themselves. We give them minimum target ranges, but they will decide how far they're going to push in their business plan goals. And hopefully all of them are targeting for the 3-point or better goal. So as I go through this dashboard, I'll share with you the updates from a report, but the metric program itself has not changed. The goals will still be net member growth, volunteer engagement, financial management, which is focused on expense management, earning profit at the chapter level, education content satisfaction will still be a key goal moving forward, and then, of course, membership satisfaction. All of those goals are in alignment with the chapter's new performance standards, which we're beginning to work on with all of your chapter leaders. But from a metric goal perspective, all of them are in alignment with high performing or pushing themselves beyond the day in, day out duty. So it's important to understand that metrics is the incentive program. So for those of you who may still be new to that, if you still need training on the actual metric program itself, if you missed the board 101 training, and you want to have out that, I'm still happy to do that for you. If there's several of you, then we'll put together a group call. But I do believe that all of you on the call probably are pretty familiar with the metric program itself. So that being said, let's look at the dashboard. I have shared my desktop. Hopefully everybody can see it. If you can't, I did send an email this morning with a copy of this sample so that you could follow along. There's only a few minor changes, so it should still be pretty close to what you're used to. So in just looking at it, this top box that before here, this box is directly pulled from your membership statistics report that MPI Global pulls every month and uploads to the chapter leaders resource page. That report allows you to see all of your membership statistics for the month, but you can also see where you're stacking up against other chapter statistics, MPI Global statistics, and all of that is found on the chapter leader resource page under the membership tab. What we've done here for you, as always, is we've pulled your local chapter. And in this sample, this is a Dallas-Fort Worth sample, so I want to just make a note that this is a sample. This is not Dallas's numbers. So for my DFW team, just know that if these numbers don't look right to you, that's because it's a mock-up. So the top few lines just basically represent, as always, your option, how many members you've had at every month, your new members, your renewals, reinstates, transfers, and so on. So that portion is not changing for the year. The one thing that I do want to highlight, though, is the year-to-date column. So in the year-to-date, I've often gotten questions about, well, my year-to-date number, for example, this one says 592, but April says 619. It can be different. 619 in April, at the end of the month, that's a snapshot that was pulled for that moment in time, and those are pulled right at the first of the month. The year-to-date continues to calculate those. So if you're looking at it in the middle of the month, you'll see potentially a different number there because it's still taking the lifetime number. So in the moment, you can see what your actual is as of the moment that you pulled your dashboard. So I wanted to make sure everybody was aware that that is how that calculated. So the next line would be, after all of the membership information, is your volunteer engagement line. This was also here last year. No changes to the volunteer engagement metric. I will talk towards the end of the call about how to track appropriately for our volunteers. We want to make sure everybody's in sync and how we're tracking, and I've heard some confusion in the community view that before the call is over. So again, this one, you simply report your monthly committee members. It will draw the average for your year to date against all of the months that you have entered. So it is important that you enter every single month. If you miss a month of data on your volunteer engagement, it does affect your average and it can skew your numbers to where potentially cause a chapter to not receive a metric or keep below the standards from a chapter charter requirement. So important that you don't miss a month. If you should miss a month, feel free to reach out to me. Again, I'm always happy to help and go back and help you with that. But as a rule, the responsibility is at the chapter to get it in on a timely basis. The next line is your education satisfaction score and your education survey responses. There is something that has changed here. You've always seen the education satisfaction, but what you haven't seen is the survey responses. And so I want to highlight that. When you enter the data, you'll recall you've always entered how many respondents took the survey. And you also need to enter the total cumulative score for the survey question that's required. Computer will automatically calculate the average for you each month, which is populated. So if you're entering the average, it will skew your numbers. It will not come out right, and you'll need to go back and correct it. So the total responses, total cumulative score. An email was sent to all of your VPs of education, and you all should have been copied on it with a copy of the metric program. The educational portion was highlighted as to what is the survey question should be asking on the metric and how to track that and how to report that. So everybody should have received that data already. If for some reason you've missed it and you need it again, please make sure you let me know. I'm happy to re-forward it to you. but again, total cumulative score. The reason we added the education survey responses here is it's important to really recognize what is the engagement at the chapter level. So we give you credit for the education survey doing is that we're getting enough people taking the survey to really give an understanding of how our members feel about our content. So this is where you can really support chapter leaders in ensuring they really pick up the pace and making sure they're getting engagement. Often I might see a high score on the dashboard for education survey, but when you dig deeper, we find out 4 people took. And if the attendance at the 50 people, that's a representation of how your members truly felt about that education. And so we really don't know, was it a quality education? And so it's important to try to really help with that engagement. So whether it's offering incentives to take the survey, I've seen chapters do a drawing on site at the end of it, the program, and if you did the survey, your name is drawn, but you have to be present to win, to get the engagement. Whatever that looks like for you guys at your chapter level, making sure we get engagement. This year, we're not counting against any chapter for the amount of participation. What I want to do here is bring awareness in this year that this is something that they need to put more focus on. Going forward in future years, we may require a certain amount of participation for the scores to count. And so I think it's great if we have this year to kind of start getting some ramp up on that. So I really wanted to highlight that for everyone and talk about that. I'm going to take it off of mute here for a minute and see if anybody has any questions. And bear with me while I find that mute button again. Sorry, guys. There, you should be unmuted. Does anybody have any questions about the first section?
Yeah, Holly, this is Keith with Rocky Mountain Chapter. I noticed on the year-to-date column, everything is averaged except the education survey responses, and that's the total. Why is that?
It actually should be. So if it's not averaging, I will have IT look at that. It is meant to average all the way across. It pulls each month, and then it looks at the average of all of the scores. So we will have IT look at that on the sample mock-up. Maybe something happened. Thank you for catching that. Any other questions about the volunteer or the education? Super. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just put you back on mute really quick, and we'll go to the next section. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. I apologize. I'm not sure why. I'm going to leave you off of mute. So if you could just please make sure you minimize your background music or mute yourselves if necessary. This net member growth box, no changes to this from the past years and how we do it. The only difference will be the new target goal is 5%. This mock-up doesn't represent it. It has already been requested and will be ready for the August 1st launch, but it will be 5%. The other thing that we'll be adding is we'll add a line down here that states year-end membership total. So it'll actually pull that final membership number so you can see what the final membership number was that you were calculated off of. Keeping in mind that the membership numbers up here pull at a month end on the 1st, but we're calculating it from the actual year to date. So we'll add that line down here to make it easier for you. It's a new upgrade that you'll see that's not on this mock-up. So Any questions about the net member growth goal? Fabulous. All right, moving on to the membership satisfaction box. Again, not many changes on this particular area. We did add one line, and it's the satisfaction response count. Seen the rate before, what's the percentage of your members, but what you guys have asked for the actual count. You need to get a minimum of 30 respondents in this survey. Satisfaction scores to count towards metrics. So this way, moving forward in the new year, you'll be able to see exactly how many participants you had, not just the percentage. So hopefully that will help you gauge where you're at for the new year. Any questions on the membership satisfaction piece?
Yes, this is Tisha from New Mexico, and I wanted to ask about for smaller chapters that have around 60 members, that 30 for a chapter of that size is, we get it every year, but it is really difficult for us to get that. That's half of our membership, and we are a state organization, so we are calling people all across the state of New Mexico. Is there any way for chapters of that size to have a smaller percentage or to take into consideration those chapters?
So great question, and thanks for asking. It is a little bit more challenging for our smaller chapters, and we do understand that. 30 is the minimum for it to be considered statistical data when we're looking at it from a research standpoint and understanding where our members really feel. I would be happy to talk to our company who works with us and my team up at Global to see if we can make any concessions for our smaller chapters. But as a rule, in the past when we've looked at it, what we really want to make sure we're getting is good statistical data, even for you, and 30 is the minimum. So I will follow up with New Mexico personally and let you know where we come back out with that. And I know if we do make an adjustment, any chapter that would fall into any adjustment requirements, I'll reach out to you personally. But as of today, until I do follow back up, focus on that, it would need to be a minimum of 30. And I'm glad to hear that you get it. When we looked at it, typically, even our smaller chapters, when I've looked at it across the board in history, you have between your board members and volunteers, just alone, you typically have almost 30 engaged. It's very rare that a chapter has less than 30 members engaged. So 30 really should be a good, strong benchmark for all of our chapters. And when we look at their chapter requirements and the growth potential, we want to make sure that we're also aligning ourselves for the future and growing towards that. We do not have a date as of yet for the survey, so stay tuned on that. When we have the official launch date of the survey, it should still be in February, but once I have the official date, I will communicate.
Are we going to try to include local chapter questions into the global survey as we discussed last year as a possibility?
Great question, Freddie. Thanks for bringing that back up. So this particular portion, what we're looking at here today, this would not be as far as it relates to metrics. When we did the survey amongst chapter administrators and chapter leaders to determine if there was a need, although the survey came back stating that there was a need to offer some form of a survey platform for your needs assessments, and you would like to have it combined. Overwhelmingly, what was clear in the survey also was that you didn't necessarily have the funds to support it or the ability to pay for any cost associated. So at that time when we did look at this, it wasn't something that we were going to be able to financially support for our chapters at that time based on the platform and the offer that was on the table. This will be something we probably continue to look at moving forward because we know it's definitely a needed resource and how we can support you better with the surveys. And we also don't want to be oversaturating our membership community with a bunch of surveys. So anything we can do to minimize that is still going to be important. But at this immediate time, no, the platform was not approved to move forward.
Thank you.
Other thoughts or questions on that? Fabulous. We'll go ahead and move to the second page for those of you who are looking at it manually. The next section is your financial management section. So we did have quite a few changes over on this side, and this is where I really wanted to take a few minutes. So the overall chapter financial management box is not that much different. You'll still monthly load your month-end revenues and expenses against your budget and how you're trending against that, and it will calculate the year-to-date total here. And what I really want to highlight that's important is when you miss a month, or if you've made changes and you didn't go back and update this information, your year-to-date can be off, and that can affect you when it comes time for the actual incentive. So it is important that as you're looking at your data, as you enter your data, excuse me, that you do go back the next day and look to make sure, one, that the data took correctly, but that you're looking at this year-to-date and making sure it makes sense for your chapter and that everything is calculating right. And if it's not, you can make the adjustment in the next month simply by adjusting your numbers to make sure that it happens. Or you can reach out to me and say, I need you to go back into, you know, the month of August and make the update. We made some changes that got missed. So whatever that may look like, you're able to make those adjustments. The educational content expenses are still here. It's not necessarily a requirement from a metric standpoint, but we do encourage you to continue to use this area. It's a great opportunity for your board to really see at a snapshot, what are we investing in content at the chapter level? So this would consist of content speaker fees, speaker travel expenses. So this is your total content investment. What is new, the goal itself is not new, but what is new are these boxes here. You've always had a box for reserves. You've been entering reserves every month, but due to the new performance standards and the fact that we are tracking your reserves against your budget, which is a bylaw requirement, we wanted to provide you with the data here in a quick snapshot and make it easy for you to see. So what will be new for you guys from a reporting structure is in the month of August, when you enter July's data for the first time, you'll have this category here, your annual budget. You will need to enter what is the total annual revenue that you guys budgeted for this fiscal year. And that would be from the budget that you submitted against your compliance. So it's just the total revenue. And there will be, as always, when you're in there entering data, there's a little hover box. You can hover over that green question mark, and it allows you to see what is it I'm supposed to put here. So if you should forget, there's a little reminder there. You only need to enter it once. Once you enter it in the month of August, it'll be there. There should be no reason to change that field. It's a one-time field. So that would be something new that you'll need to make a note of for August. The revised budget section is often throughout the year you have to make adjustments. You're managing your expenses against your revenues, and you'll come back to us and say that my budget has changed. This would be where you would do that. In any month that you've had a change to your actual budget, you can simply go in here and put the new revenue number here. And we're specifically looking at the revenue because we're looking at your reserves against your operating budget. So if you made an adjustment in the month, you'll make it here. If you have not adjusted your overall budget, then there's no reason to use that field. It will just simply stay blank all year. The year-to-date reserves works the way it always has. They put the current year-to-date total for that month when entering your data. It will pull the most recent data. So it's not averaging. It's just looking at the last entry that you put, and that's the entry that will pull. So it's the year-to-date that you're entering every month. And this new box is automatically calculated for you. It basically will tell you what is your percent of reserves against that budget. So you can see how you're trending. Your bylaws require you to have 6 months reserves plus 20% of operating. So this will give you a chance to see and help the chapters. How are we trending against that budget and our reserves? Do we need to focus more on savings? How are we managing that? And this is a great snapshot for all of the board members. As you guys know, often the board members stay focused on their key role. They're not thinking about all of the responsibilities. So it's good. This dashboard helps them see everything in a snapshot and reminds them of the importance of all the different areas. And we'll talk about how you can help the board review it shortly. So any questions on the financial boxes and the changes to the financial boxes?
Holly, this is Christine from the Carolinas chapter.
Hi.
The percentage, the reserves against the annual budget, what is the recommended percentage there so we can be aware to tell the board and everything?
Absolutely. It's now listed in your bylaws for you and policies. It was one of the new things that was launched. So it states you had to add a new reserve policy as to what is your target and how are you using your reserves. So every single one of the chapters should have that now in their bylaws, but we mm-hmm. defined what the target is within your bylaws, and that is 6 months. 6 months okay. of operating budget.
Okay.
Any other questions? And by the way, welcome back, Christine, and congratulations on the baby. We're super excited for you.
Thank you.
She's a new mommy, everyone. So let's look at this last box, engagement participation. So this is your monthly status area. You'll probably notice we took off the word optional. The majority of you had been really engaging in this area and doing a great job engaging in this data. There were a few that hadn't. We've worked with everybody, and so now I believe we're 100% compliant that all chapters are utilizing these fields. These fields are really important because they do give the board a snapshot, especially if your chapter doesn't have a good practice of reporting back the numbers to the board of what happened at the event. And so you really do want to see what that engagement is. So a couple things changed in this particular area. All of the educational event attendance fields are the same. There'll be a little bit more clarity in these words. I asked for a new update yesterday. It will very specifically say planner non-member, as it does here. And you'll want to enter the data that's specific to that event if there was no data. It's important to add members and separate them out. They are not calculated in the above categories. This will be important for your membership team to be able to see how many guesting and making sure they're following up for conversion purposes and recruitment. So we really want to make sure we're highlighting that non-member attendance. And everybody should be adhering to and have policies and strategies in place for the non-member attendance policy at this time, which is non-members can only attend two events or more in the year. Two events. Any more than two events, they need to become a member. And that is any event, with the exception of if you're having a large industry event, such as GMID, where you're inviting other industry associations, that particular event can be exempt. So hopefully everybody's on track. Number of new members participating. I want to review this one again. This one tends to get confusing, but in my personal opinion, is still one of the most important tracking areas for you and probably the most underused. New members participating, we know from the research that if our members do not, our non-members, new members do not participate and engage at the chapter level in the first year in two events or two activities, they typically do not renew. And so it's important to understand what is that engagement of my new members. Having a focus on onboarding them, getting them engaged, bringing them into the community is key to any strategy that you have at the chapter level. And we'll be teaching and talking to your membership teams about it in the coming months. But helping them to track that and really see what is the engagement, how many of them are getting engaged, which ones are not, how are we following back up with them? And so this area allows you to track that and report it back to the board so they can see how they're progressing year over year in this particular category. How did we do last year? If we had 20% of our members new members getting engaged at two events or more, you know, this year let's set a business goal to try to get it to 40% or whatever that may look like. So I recommend that field. If you do use it, you only need to enter the data once in the year. The data would be entered at a snapshot. It would be the total number of the total percentage that you would have engaged. So if it was 48%, you'd put a 48 in that category. What I recommend, typically in the past, for the best way to calculate that and track that, is simply pick a starting and an ending point. I personally prefer April to April or May to May. And the reason is how you have to do your reporting, it helps. Then you can report it. If you're doing May to May, you can report the number in June for the year end and see how you're doing every year. So think about that. If your chapter's not tracking that or you need help thinking about how to track that, I'm happy to work with you, put you in touch with other chapters that are doing it successfully. But that is a key area that you should be using. Regional program attendance? Yes.
Holly, it's Melissa with Potomac Chapter. I have a quick question for you because this is something that always got defined different ways. What is the definition of a new member in the year for the year as you're going for these checkpoints?
Great question. Thanks, Melissa. I did forget to mention that. So in the past, yes, there was confusion because it's been changed multiple times. It is calculated on a 1 year, the brand new member who's been with us within that year. So if you're going April to April, for example, anybody who's joined from April to April, how did they engage during that time frame? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Regional program attendance. That line is specifically for if your chapter has a large conference or a major one-day event that is different than every other educational event that you do, something unique that really stands out that you want to separate your numbers out and highlight it. That's where you would use that category. If you don't offer something like that, you would just simply leave this area blank. And so I just wanted to highlight that because some people get confused with that one. The next two lines are the members at networking events and non-members at networking. So this would be any event that does not have an educational component. This one really creates a lot of confusion in that often you guys will have coffee talks, galas, Christmas parties, things of that nature, and there's all different kinds. So what I usually recommend is depending on your structure. So if you have 7 coffee talks, but you also have galas and things happening in that same month, pick the category that you want to track there, and you can use the notes section to highlight the additional ones that are one-off. So like if you're going to use that area for all of your coffee talks to see how your coffee talks are trending, then you can simply use the notes area to put in your gala attendance so that you can have the history and represent it on the dashboard for your board meetings. It makes it easier. Rather than combining events in a month, so if you had 2 different events in a month and combining the total, it tends to work better if you separate them because from a history standpoint, you won't be able to really know what that data reflected if you're combining, and we won't really be able to understand what the attendance was. So I recommend separating them out. Either way, as long as you make a note in the notes area that lets you know what it was from a history standpoint, then you'll be fine either way. Okay. So any questions about how to track that attendance or a chapter that has challenges with this particular area? Fabulous. Okay. We'll move on to this last area. This is the new area for the year. This is not a metric.
I'm sorry. I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is Tisha again from New Mexico. Could you please, I think my phone went out. Could you explain the difference between PIN or member attendees and PIN member attendees?
That's not PIN. It's PLAN. Planner members.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like
so it's a chance to separate out. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so planner.
Yeah, we want you to separate the planners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, if you
Thank
separate
you.
Out the planners, you're welcome. If you separate the planners out, it helps you to see what your planner engagement is at all of your events against your average attendance. And that's really key because we know from the survey data and everything that our members tell us, they want more planners. So really understanding your planner engagement is important. So that's why that line is there for you.
Holly,
so let's
Kathy
talk about this
from,
new...
I'm sorry, Kathy from New York. members at networking events, excuse me, if the event is a joint event, for example, or holiday party is held jointly with HSMAI, do we just calculate our own individual members, or do we not utilize that as a networking event because it's a joint program?
Great question, Kathy. Thanks for asking. So that is a really unique one. And what I always recommend is these boxes here are for your members. This is for you and your board to understand how are our members engaging. So you want to put member data in these boxes. However, I think it is important to reflect that history and what was the total engagement for your board, especially if you don't have an event report recap or something that comes out and this is the only place they see it. So again, the notes section, you can simply type in the notes section that month that industry event with partner associations, list the partner associations, and this was the total attendance. Mm-hmm. And then these boxes will reflect how your members engaged in that. So you can see how our members tracked on it.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
I wouldn't skip them if you can avoid it. It's good to get all of your events in here if you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Any other thoughts or questions on that one before we move to non-member conversion? Great. All right, so let's talk about this because this is new. So as I mentioned, this is not a metric, but it is a requirement as part of your performance standards that were rolled out at CBS. And we will be having some more training calls and conversations with each of you and each of your chapters about the specific performance standards and how your chapters are tracking. So I do want you to know that that's coming in the month of August. But the non-member conversion is simply how many of your guest attendees, non-member attendees, converted into membership in that year. So this is something we've been working with your membership teams and we've been talking to them about. So they should be aware. Every chapter should be tracking this information now. But what we've done here is provided you with a way to track it and get the snapshot so that we can also see it and how you're gauging against your performance standards, but also so the board can monitor what is happening in our membership department and how are we trending against this and what is our focus on it if we need to have a stronger focus. So this will work a lot like the reserves box in that it'll just be a total number. So every single month you will have an area to enter what is the year-to-date total guest. So it's the snapshot at that moment. So it's not just for that month. It's the total guest from July 1st to the date that you are entering the data. And whatever populates here, where that 50 is, that will be the last entry that you put. So the total year-to-date guest at that moment in time, the total year-to-date non-member conversion, how many of those guests have already become members at this point in time? So it's just the year-to-date total at that moment. And the computer will automatically calculate what that conversion is. Now, from a performance standards, we're not looking for high achievement in this. We really set those targets at a baseline this year because what we really wanted to put the focus on with the boards is making sure, one, that they understand what that conversion is and how are they doing against it. What is happening at the chapter level? Do we do anything with those guest attendees? Do we have a follow-up process? How are we engaging them and getting them into our membership community? So really trying to bring that focus back to the board conversation and not just the membership team and making sure the board understands the accountability of bringing those guests. We had a lot of chapters this past year where if I was to look at their data, they had massive numbers of engagement from a guest perspective, attending one time or two times and then never returning and never converting. And understanding why that's happening, typically it drilled down until there was no strategic plan or against how we were going to follow up and engage with them. We have the non-member event attendance policy, but are we doing anything to follow up? So this is where you guys will be able to really support the chapters this year and making sure they're doing this successfully and that they're really looking at this. So I want to stop here and see if you have questions about this particular piece. Fabulous, fabulous. Okay, if anybody does come up with a question or challenges with the tracking or anything moving down the road, please feel free to reach out and call me. I want to make sure that your teams are very successful. And again, we'll support you as well by making sure we train the membership team on that new member onboarding and recruitment strategies in the coming months. Okay. So the last page is simply the notes page. So if you have entered notes, anything that you wrote will show up here. It doesn't disappear. It'll keep your running history for you. So it'll keep every single month's notes. So anything you write will show up. If you don't write anything, this page just doesn't show up. So one of the things we did do when you actually go into the area on the chapter leaders resource page to enter your data, there were three separate areas to add notes. You had member notes, engagement notes, and financial notes. We've now cleaned that up. There'll be only one notes area. Typically, that's what you guys were doing anyway, and it'll just keep it simplified and clean up that page for you. We'll also be removing any of the categories that are no longer part of the dashboard that maybe were stagnant but were still on the screen for you. Those will be cleaned up and removed as well by August 1st. So when you enter that data for July, those will no longer be there confusing you. So a lot of information on the metric dashboard, a lot of changes. There weren't a lot of questions, so that excites me because I'm hoping that means you guys are very well versed in this. You feel pretty comfortable with this dashboard. So I want to talk about volunteer tracking really quick, but before I jump into volunteer tracking, are there any other questions about the metrics, the tracking of any of the categories, how to work within the engagement metrics for education specifically? Any questions on any of those? Super. All right, volunteer tracking. So we provided all the chapters with a volunteer tracking guideline document. If you need that again, I can get it for you, and it should be on the chapter leaders resource page, but I'm happy to share it again. But in my calls with multiple chapters, there seems to have been some confusion, and I'll go ahead and take the ownership, and perhaps my team, the chapter business managers, maybe were not sharing it consistently. So if that's what happened and there got confusion, you know, we apologize for that, but I want to help clarify, because once I've talked to a few teams and really worked with them, what we found is your volunteer numbers are a lot better than you think. It was really just the way you were reporting them and understanding how to calculate. So when you're calculating those monthly volunteer numbers, what works best is that your board is reporting up to you how many committee members they had for that month. What is on their committee roster? So often what I see is if you've had 100 volunteers in the month of July and all of a sudden in August it drops to 50, there's probably a challenge in the way you're calculating. The numbers should not change dramatically from month to month. They should fluctuate slightly by just a few volunteers because you may lose one or two, but hopefully you're also bringing in one or two in every single month. So it should be a pretty steady number with just minor fluctuations. And the reason for that is when you are engaging these volunteers, we should be looking at them from a committee standpoint and not just this one time. So I'm going to use galas as a great example. If you have a gala committee, oftentimes the chapter will think, well, we don't start planning the gala until March or April. It runs until June. And then in July, they're done. And so they're only counting them April, May, and June. And that really shouldn't be the case. They should be counted all year. This is the gala committee for the year. They have agreed to be the gala committee and engage in any conversations or activities that you have as a result of the gala planning process. So once that gala is over in July, there should be a recap committee call. And that means they're engaging to say what worked, what didn't work. Yes, I want to be on the gala committee into the new term, so they would still be counted in July. Hopefully, there'll be pre-planning calls to engage them and let them know what's coming up. But if they've agreed to be on the committee roster for the gala, even if the charge is only 6 calls and attending the event, they would be counted every single month for the gala committee. They would not drop off in the non-active month, because they're still agreeing to be that committee. They're still engaged. If you were to send out a note, they would jump on and they would be on a call. So if you're doing that with all of your committees, it should help you track. The only time you wouldn't count them is if they truly are a one-off. They are not serving on the committee. They are not attending committee calls. They're not part of the committee roster. They are simply, we reached out, we have this event, we need one-time registration, volunteer support, and they come in and they volunteer for 2 hours, and then that's it. They're not on your committee rosters anywhere. Then you just count them in the month for that month. They wouldn't be counted every month. But the majority of your volunteers would be counted every single month unless they're not engaging or not attending the committee meetings and activities. So does anybody have questions on that or need additional clarity?
Holly, it's Melissa with Potomac. I have one quick question because you mentioned in the beginning about having the committees reporting to us the numbers so we can then put that into the dashboard. My understanding is that you can only count one person one time. So if they're on multiple committees, they still only count once. Is that true?
That is correct. That is correct. You count them one time because we're looking for the percent of your member engagement, not how many committees they're serving on. So okay. It is important to cross-reference that against the rosters. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Other questions? No? Okay, great. So this again will open August 1st. You'll be able to enter July numbers. I am going to ask for your support in that. Remember, as in previous years, anytime we make updates to this document, we want to make sure we're really paying attention. Look at your numbers, make sure the averages are looking right when it comes out. Let me know if you see any challenges or problems on your chapter's numbers, because anytime we do it, you know, there are formula changes, there could be a glitch. I've seen it happen where one chapter is having it and not another, and we may need to have IT go in and adjust the report. So if you could support me in letting me know if you see any challenges or concerns, and if you're having any trouble remembering a certain area, remember the little green question mark. You can hover and it'll tell you what goes in those boxes. So please keep me posted. You have till the end of the month to enter the data. Once the month ends, it will roll over to the new month and you can't go backwards. So if you do not get July's data in by the end of August, you won't be able to enter July's data. So it's really important. And here is where, again, we really need your support from Global to partner with you guys, making sure that we get that data in on time, especially now that there's just me here. When we get more staff, it'll be a little bit easier. But right now, if I had to go back and enter every chapter's data, that's going to get very timely. The rule is if they do not enter the data, we're not supposed to go back and enter it on behalf of them. And it can affect their metric incentive. So we've offered a lot of grace in that area. So I really want to see if I can get your support to help me kind of tighten that up for this coming term and make sure that we get all the data entered. Obviously, there's emergencies or errors and things. I don't want you to hesitate to reach out to me, but you know, if there's repeated issues, then we'll have to talk about that one-on-one with that particular chapter. So I wanted you to be aware of that. It's important to make sure the integrity of the data is correct. Again, we now have the chapter awards. A lot of the data for the awards is pulled from this. So as we're rounding out, we've got a couple days left for this year. I've really done some reviews of all of your metrics over these last few weeks, and I've been reaching out to chapters to ask for corrections and make sure your data is right. I would hate for any of your chapters to miss out on an award because of missing data or data that didn't make sense. So please take this time this week, and if you could all review your chapter's dashboard, look at that data, make sure there's no errors, and get to me right away if there is so that I can still get it corrected on your behalf so that it doesn't affect their opportunity to earn incentives or awards. After August 1st, I won't be able to make any changes to the previous year's term. So any questions or concerns on that? Perfect. Okay, so we're rounding up to the end of our time. So I would like to just leave this time open for anybody who has questions that are not about Remetrics. You've got me, so it's a great time to ask questions, or if you've got questions for your peers. We will do more of these calls, and we'll offer some more time for collaboration, and I want to make sure we're reaching out and asking you guys some specific topics and things that you want to talk about in addition to the global updates. Today was just a very specific training call. So is there any hot buttons right now that anybody needs help with or have questions for the current time? You guys are cracking me up. This is the quietest that chapter administrators have ever been on the call. I'm hoping that's good. Everybody's chained up and in a good place. All right. Well, if there's no questions, I won't keep you guys. I know you have a lot to do. I want to thank you for all of your support these last few weeks and months. I am overwhelmed by how supportive the chapter leaders have been and how supportive you guys have been to myself personally with all the changes and helping me make sure that chapters are staying on track and current and supporting me on the processes. So thank you to each of you for your efforts. I know it's a huge part in what you do at the chapter level. So thank you. If you need anything from me, please don't hesitate to call. I hope you guys will all join the call on August 1st to hear from Paul and Mary Ann about all those fabulous updates for the global and then the website and the preferred administrator program. And I look forward to working with you guys for the coming term. Thanks for all you do and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Holly.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.